We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday. Hour two of the show. Hour one flew by, didn't it, Randy? Damn. It was a busy weekend. A lot happened. As we go along today, obviously this is no different than any other day, but keeping a close eye on any breaking news, because it just sort of feels like, you know, if this weekend is any indicator, there's just stuff happening like every hour, over and over and over again. There's just crazy stuff happening. I guess good breaking news, if it is considered breaking, is that the Braves are actually working out today at Truist Park.
Yeah.
I know other clubs aren't. The Astros canceled their workout today because they haven't gotten their positive test back, or they haven't got their coronavirus test back. The A's are dealing with the same thing. Their tests from Friday are still sitting.
They're still in San Francisco.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Waiting to be sent to the lab in Utah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not good. So they've canceled their workouts as well. I would assume the Braves tests are coming back in a timely manner. I don't know. I mean, everybody's got to send their tests to Utah, don't they? Because that's where they converted that steroids PED testing facility in Utah to a coronavirus testing facility. But I mean, you know, you send them by mail from Atlanta to Utah is further than San Francisco to anyway. The Braves are practicing today at Truist. So,
oh, how about that?
They're releasing, if there's any good news,
MLB,
that's good.
MLB is releasing their schedule tonight too at 6.
Oh, that's MLB, nice.
MLB schedule announcement coming up at 6 on MLB. Okay, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
They're full steam ahead. So hey, let's roll with it. I saw a video. I saw Atlanta United had landed down there in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Got a chance to watch them. They got a couple training sessions in the last couple days. So I mean, everything seems like it's on and popping, man. Just saw the commercial again for the opening game when they play New York. I'm like, okay, well, they playing it. The commercials are playing, so I guess they're gonna play, right?
I guess so. I think we just sort of proceed with best intentions, right? Because there's also not great stories coming from Orlando as well. You've got positive tests from teams like Dallas, who have had guys contract the virus since they got down there. I thought Joe Patrick, who's always making trouble on Twitter, actually made a pretty good point over the weekend. It might have been making trouble as well, but it's a good point. There's a fine line between a bubble and a Petri dish. Like, if there's no coronavirus in there, then it's a bubble. If the virus gets in there, well, then it very quickly becomes something other than that. So with Dallas having their situation, I know that Columbus had a player test positive who didn't have it when he went down there. And then you're seeing also tweets from guys that are down there saying it's not what they expected it to be. All the promises have not been kept. So
What team delayed their go? I think they delayed their trip down there. Was it Colorado? May have been.
Colorado decided not to go down there? I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
I think. But no, it's a crazy situation, man, because I think that was the whole point to get us down there. And I think that is where the NBA is right now. They're like, okay, let's hurry up and get down here, all right, so we can go ahead and handle what's going on. Because I think once they're in the bubble, I think they're saying to themselves, once we're in Orlando, oh, it's on and popping. But until we get to Orlando, we ain't sure yet.
Yeah.
You know, once we get there, we go, hey, once we get there, we gone. But if we until we get there, I mean, because the thing is, what today is it? July 6th. It's still you still got with 22 days before the NBA comes back, or no, 22 days before NFL teams report. But yeah, like, it still seems like it's time, but it ain't a lot of time. But it seems like it's enough time that if somebody does test positive or whatever, they can go through the protocols or whatever and still have time to get down to Orlando.
Yeah, the hard part is, and you know, we hinted at this earlier. Even to get to Orlando, the NBA players have reported to their home cities where they're working out at their practice facilities and getting tested. And of the 22 teams that are headed to Orlando, seven of them have closed their practice facilities down, at least for a time. Some of them have reopened. But the latest is the Sacramento Kings, who closed their facility down this morning because of positive testing. So even the attempt to get ready to go down to the bubble so they can get things going in Orlando has had its issues. And this is what we've said the entire time. Like, in order for these things to actually happen, so many people have to do the right thing. And we know human nature is very difficult, especially when you add into it the fatigue of whatever, the coronavirus, and the fact that people don't like to be told what to do, and the fact that young millionaires are used to a certain lifestyle, all this stuff. Like, the idea that everyone is going to do everything that they need to do to make sure that it's safe and you can get this thing going is such a thin line. It's such a difficult proposition. It's not surprising to see that there's been bumps in the road. Now, none of these bumps have been enough to derail the entire plan thus far, and hopefully that remains the truth. Hopefully they're able to get this thing done. But, I mean, it was always going to be dicey. It was so many things were going to have to go right, and so few things were going to have to go wrong in an environment where so many things are possible to go wrong. That was always going to be a challenge, which is kind of why we always looked at it with a tilted head and our eyes a little squinted and saying, huh, all right, I guess
and
maybe
that'll
work.
By the way, Andy, it was Toronto FC, thanks to my man Robert Coward.
Okay.
Appreciate that, Robin. I'm sorry, Robin Coward. But, yeah, I mean, these teams, I mean, because then when we were talking about the Blue Jays, they just had to get some kind of special permission and all these things. So now we know the NHL, they're going to, you know, Edmonton with the regular strip clubs. And then, you know, Toronto's, you know, I'm assuming they're finalizing those deals for those two. You know, I think the Western Conference is going to go to Edmonton, and then, of course, the East is going to go to Toronto. But that's the thing. Everybody's like, okay, as long as we get there, I think that's the same way the NFL is looking at it, Buck. As long as we get these guys here, then we'll figure things out. All right, we'll figure it out when we get them here. We just got to get them here.
You know? Yeah.
We just got to get them here.
Hopefully.
I mean, they're talking about some – they're going to be fining you if you find out you was in Uber or if you out and about. And they're talking about the NFL players as far as, you know, when they get back to their respective cities and teams or whatever. I'm like, who going to snitch on somebody in an Uber? Could you see somebody like snitching up in the AJC? Like, does D-Leg got like the ear of all the Uber drivers? Like, oh, let me know. Yeah. You know, can you see that? I know D-Leg wouldn't do that, but can you see that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Would it be wrong for a reporter if they had the information, if they had somebody doing something they weren't supposed to do to report it? I don't think it would be wrong.
Of course you don't, because you're a media dude.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get the season played, right?
Timmy. Hey, Ma, I got some insight.
Yeah, if you're out there in an Uber riding around, a 1-800-SNITCH line like the NBA has. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle and what the Packers owner even kind of said about this situation.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Zach!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. And the big refrain from the NFL and us and everyone who wants football back, college and the NFL, has been, well, the NFL's got time on their side. The Packers, was it their president? Packers president said over the weekend, yeah, time's not really on our side anymore. And he's right. Like, nothing has really changed. Nothing has really gotten better. In fact, in some ways, things have gotten worse. So whereas we thought when the NFL season got here, it would be, all right, we got this under control. We're good. We've got everything we need to know how to do. We'll be able to do it. We'll see all these other leagues have come back, and we'll do the things they did wrong, we'll do right. The things they did right, we'll do better, and we'll be able to get it going. The NFL's probably, I mean, it still hasn't started, so that's good. And they're still 3 weeks away from having to report to camp. But I think NFL teams are like, damn, we were really hoping people would give us a blueprint. There's no blueprint at this point. Well, I guess the blueprint is hope.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's operating on right now, Andy, is hope. I mean, we know that one thing that they all these sports leagues or whatever, they send out all these these pamphlets and all these things and what happened and protocols and all that. But I'm sure they got to have like a second protocol list. You know, some sitting in one of the in the commissioner's safe or something. Okay, well, that one didn't work, so let's try this one. I mean, there's so many different things, and the unknown is what I think that where's everybody held the unknown. But I'm just saying, like, they don't know what's going to happen when they get there. We still have not figured out how the hell you social distance in football, because they're talking about, well, once you leave the field or whatever, you social distance from it. I was just out here blocking this dude. You know what I mean? I was just blocking this dude. I mean, yeah. NFL locker rooms ain't big enough for you to space all them lockers out the way they were talking about doing. It's not. You know, it's not.
Especially not visitors' locker rooms.
They're not built like that. So, yeah, I think that's the crazy thing about it. But, yeah, the NFL, I mean, they're just sitting back and waiting. And of any other league that we have on this in this country, I could say, they're the most bullheaded. NFL is the most bullheaded one. They're like, hey, I don't care. So, you know, we won't have no preseason, because we saw last week where they tried to go to two. The players want none, because all they're trying to do, we got to get – first of all, we got to get them to our cities or our teams or facilities, and we got to get that Thursday night kickoff game. We got to get it. Even if ain't nobody in Arrowhead Stadium, we got to get this kickoff, because we need Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and those ratings to save us, so we can be like, okay, see, we're going straight ahead. NFL is trying – it's hard it's not to waiver, but they're keep on eliminating things that's saying that – there might be some higher powers like, well, maybe if we, you know, they're still trying to figure this thing out.
Speaking of the NFL being bullheaded, and maybe owners in the NFL not liking being told what to do, that makes this story even more interesting. And it's not out of nowhere. I mean, the Washington Redskins name conversation has been happening for decades. I mean, this is something that's been debated for a very long time. It has been interesting to see people say, wow, this is really coming along. Well, yeah, we've been talking about it for a long time. It is interesting seeing it pick up steam. Here's Mike Jones from USA Today talking about how it actually is going faster than the Redskins anticipated.
Somebody actually tweeted at me and they said, am I doing something wrong, or did Nike actually pull the Redskins stuff? And so that's when I went and did the search. Now, all of this got going because there was a group of investors yesterday that challenged FedEx and Nike and Pepsi to pull their support from the team because of its name. And then this afternoon, FedEx released its statement saying, we have expressed our, you know, they expressed their stance, urging them. And then it was several hours later that, you know, you can't find any of Washington's gear on the Nike website. So the ball is definitely started to roll much, much faster.
It seems more likely than ever, yeah. I would say. I'm still not convinced that Daniel Snyder is going to do anything that Daniel Snyder doesn't want to do. But there's also a possibility that Daniel Snyder might sell the team, because the minority owners of the team right now, who own a 40% stake, are reportedly looking to get out. So, I don't know. If the team goes up for sale, somebody new buys it, that changes the entire game. It feels like the most realistic possibility of the Redskins name changing that we've ever actually seen. But I'll say what I've always said about Daniel Snyder. I mean, I'll believe it when I actually see it, because it's not like this is a new conversation in his life.
I think I said it Thursday. I said, ain't no way he's changing, because he is one of those, you know, he's one of those big six owners. He's not going to be pushed around and all that. And I always say, but they're billionaires for a reason. And one reason is they don't let anybody dictate, but other than this money that he's willing to lose. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to ever be changed, but now I'm starting to think more and more about it. It's good. Coach Ron is up there. They said he's having a hand in as far as changing the name of Washington's club. And I commend, you know, people that are trying to get this done, because it's always been a derogatory thing. But then you say it, why all of a sudden is everything that's always been derogatory? Why are we trying to change now? What was the holdup thing? We talk about NASCAR and the Confederate flag. Well, why did George Floyd need to be killed for us to see that this flag has always been racist? You know, and now we're looking at Washington and their mascot. And I know Snyder, he wants to get a new stadium and all these things. So, I mean, in order for him to get those things, those fundings from some of those people, you're going to have to change it, you know, because right now this movement ain't stopping. And I mean, and if I think if you're offended, if a group of people are offended by something, it's offensive. You know, I always say we're sensitive as hell in today's times, but if you're talking about something that is derogatory and everybody want to throw that poll, it was 500 damn people on that poll that y'all tried to talk about. 500 people that they polled to see if it, it was.
Well,
if,
I don't
if
know what poll you're talking
it was
about.
A poll, it was a poll a few years ago that they had out there if the Washington's name was offensive. Oh. And, like, the majority of people said, no, it was 500 people that voted in the damn thing, Andy. There are millions of Native Americans in this country. Millions. All right. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that have a problem with it. But, yeah, if they can find a way to get it done, because Daniel Snyder seems to me, he seems like he's the type of guy that would sell. Like, all right, fine. I don't even need it. Yeah, right. Y'all can have it. I got all my bees.
And that's the thing about it is, I mean, it kind of like the Donald Sterling thing, too. It's like, okay, yeah. The terrible old racist owner did have to sell his team, but he got $2 billion for it. Like, did he lose?
Did he lose?
It's the same thing with Daniel Snyder. All right, you know, he sucks. We've known it for a long time. Maybe he'll change the name. Maybe he won't. But if he decides to sell the team, 60% of the Washington Redskins is billions.
Billions. Like, billions.
So does he lose?
Billions.
I mean, that's one kind of losing. It's also a kind of winning as well financially. So look, this is a weird one that we're still debating it, I guess. Yeah. Like, yes, Washington Redskins is a racist name and it should be changed. Like,
yeah, but
I don't know how else to put it.
He's one of the worst owners. He's one of the worst owners, but one of the nicest men. And from everybody that I've ever talked to about him personally, one of the nicest men you'll ever meet. Real charitable man, but just a horrible damn owner. And I mean, that stadium, FedEx Field, is garbage. I mean, I've never been to RFK, but I played them. That field stinks. That whole stadium just raggedy, man. I mean, it's just a raggedy. It's a raggedy building with a raggedy owner that needs to change his raggedy name.
Yep, 100% agree. There's also other name changes and tradition changes across the landscape of sports that get talked about when this comes up. One of them here in Atlanta. We'll get to that later on in the show. But anytime something like this is discussed, the Redskins are not the only team in professional sports that are named after Native Americans. There is literally a baseball team called the Indians, which is probably going to have to change their name. I know they've gone away from their mascot, but it sounds like they're going to change their name as well.
Their owner. Their manager said something. We need to change it.
Yeah. The manager. And Ron Rivera says that they've kicked around new names for the Redskins as well. Hopefully they do it. Now, here's the other thing about it, and I'm not trying to minimize the value of changing some of these symbolic racist images that we have. There's, you change the Redskins' name, like, that doesn't fix the issues that Native American people have in our country. Like, it doesn't fix the addiction issues on reservations. There was a crazy sad story last night on SportsCenter. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, man. Yes.
About the boxing gym on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana and the issues that go on there. Like, it doesn't fix any of that. I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but there's still so many bigger issues to get at as well. Anyway, we'll get back into that conversation as the show goes on. Coming up next, the Braves had some positive tests over the weekend, and Felix Hernandez isn't going to play anymore. Where do the Braves go from here? What does it mean for the season? We'll come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Imagine you like listening to John and Hugh. Now imagine bringing them with you anywhere with the radio.com app. Download our app and listen anytime to any show.
Or stream on your smart device.
You can even rewind up to 24 hours and catch things you missed.
Download the radio.com app now from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy Wickens here on a Monday. Like we said, Randy, at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to keep a very close eye on breaking news today because, well, if today is anything like this weekend, there's probably going to be some, and, well, we have some. We have some breaking news right now on the midday show. Do we want to play the breaking news sounder and make it official?
92.9 The Game Breaking News. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Dell Technology Small Business Podference Podcast Series. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
Yep, and thank you for being with us on Radio.com on 92.9 The Game as well. Nick Markakis, the latest Brave to opt out of playing in the 2020 season. This announcement was just made. Brian Snitker speaking about it down at Truist Park as well. Add him to the list with Felix Hernandez and... I think that there's a lot of different ways to look at this. I think there will be the baseball reaction, which is natural, I think, for us as sports fans to simply immediately shift into, okay, well, it's a good thing we have depth in the outfield, and it's, well, Mark Cakes was this guy the last couple of years and all that, but it's so much different than that to me. It's so much more than that to me. Like, two of the players on the Braves roster have decided not to be a part of this over the last 48 hours because of concerns over health. Right. Now, they've got the financial wherewithal to do that. Luckily, Cakes and Felix Hernandez have both been very successful in Major League Baseball. They've got the money to say that they're not going to do it, and I don't have a problem with their decision whatsoever. Do what's best for you and your family. It's tough, though, if guys don't have that. Like, in order to make a conscious health decision, you have to be a multimillionaire? All right. That's tough.
No, I don't want to say – I don't want to put that on them. It's a con because I mean people just feel different about it. I mean, when you Cakes is one of the more old school guys on this team. I mean, he's rugged, all those things. He believes in, you know, the baseball rules and all that stuff. I'm not surprised that he did this. You know, like I would be like, so let's just say Freddie didn't get sick or anything. I'd be surprised if Freddie did it. For some reason, I'm not surprised that Cakes did this. And Brian Snicker talked about how important he is to the team because he is such a valuable guy in that clubhouse, such a veteran leader in there. And as much as we have fun with Felix and all that stuff, I mean, you look at what the Braves are still young on their pitching staff. This guy was a veteran. I mean, they talked about in the spring how these young players can learn something from him and everything. So, I mean, it's a big loss when you lose Cakes, man. And yeah, he's one of my favorite players. And not just because I like to say Cakes. He's just one of my favorite players. I like old school cats. That's just me. I like that's what I like. But yeah, I mean, this is a big blow. Is it the last one? I don't know. I mean, there's going to be so much. And we talked about it earlier in the show. The best player in baseball ain't even made his mind up yet. He's like, Mike Trout, like, man, I don't know. My wife might have had it, baby, and all that. So I don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, it's a big loss for him, man. And I think
Mike Trout also has $100 million in the bank, so he can make that decision.
The thing with Cakes is it going to derail what the Braves going to do this year if they do start the season on time or whatever, this revised season, whatever? I don't think it will. I mean, it's a big loss as far as, you know, in the clubhouse and everything, but is it a big loss in production? I mean, you would love to have that extra outfielder now that you have the DH. Was Cakes going to ever be the regular DH, or would he DH for somebody and switch and all that stuff? So I hate that it happened, but I think that, you know, didn't Christian Yelich just get broke off this offseason?
Didn't
he just get broke off? Yeah, he said. Well, it so came out. He said that he didn't even. He's not even thinking about not playing. So I mean, yeah, just to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is to each their own. Absolutely right. And if my opinion is, don't be mad at guys for making a health decision for their family. Obviously, the flip side of that is don't be mad at anybody for making the decision to play as well. It's got to be a little bit weird if you're one of the younger players on the team who, because there's so many things going into this decision, right? Like, you're obviously thinking about your family. You're thinking about your personal well-being and your personal health. You're thinking about your career. You're thinking about your one season in the middle of your baseball career that, you know, you don't get to do this forever. Every professional athlete knows that at some point, your body is no longer going to be able to play professional sports. And to have to miss a season of that when you still can is a really, really hard thing to do. Now, look, Felix is 34 years old. Cakes is 35 years old. They both had long and successful Major League Baseball careers already. So that part of it may be a little bit easier. But I'm just saying it's got to be tough if, I don't know, like you're in that locker room and you're thinking about this too. Like you're having that feeling as well. You're thinking to yourself, yeah, I'm worried about the health ramifications also.
Yeah.
But I'm like 26 and my career is in the middle of it. I'm not at the end of it. If I don't play anymore, then my legacy is nowhere near secured. Also, I'm not financially secured. Like I got to get out there, not just for health reasons, but for professional reasons as well. I got to feed my family. I got to make an impact on this organization. So they give me a long-term contract someday, or another organization gives me a long-term contract someday. Like it's just, it's And again, it's professional sports, and individual citizens that are listening to this show right now are making similar decisions. They're like, I got to feed my family too, and I don't make nearly as much money as these guys make. I got to get out there and do what I got to do for myself as well. Everybody is making these decisions right now. It's just sports tend to be different than real life, right? The conversations that we have about what athletes are doing tend to exist in the vacuum of, yes, it is different than you. It is different than me. What they're going through, it has to be talked about differently because it's just not the same. It's just not the same reality. It's hard when you enter this into it, and guys have to make these decisions with that stark reality right in their face, and it probably makes it even more difficult when, you know, one of the guys who's on the team, best one of the best players on the team right in the middle of his prime physically and in baseball is at home sick right now. Because he's got the disease and it knocked him on his butt. That's where Freddie Freeman is right now. And like, I don't know if that did anything to Markakis or Felix.
That's a great point. I mean, because
but it would make me think twice about it.
That's a great point because I know Schnicker said he talked to Nick Markakis yesterday, and I guess that's when he informed him and everything that he was not going to come back. But well, we found out Freddie was sick with Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
yeah.
Saturday morning. So yeah, it could be a. You know, it could be something where he's looking at it like, damn, Freddie got it. You know, maybe. And like you said, it's easier to do that when you are financially secure. But, I mean, I don't know, you know, the impact that it had. Because I know you and Brian were throwing out names. Like, the impact of, like, if Mike Trout says, I don't want to play. As great as Freddie Freeman is, Freddie ain't a – he's not a – he should be a superstar, you know, as far as one of the faces of baseball, but he's not. But if say like Kershaw or one of these guys is like, man, I don't want to go, then what are the effects? We saw David Price just came over. All right, just came over from Boston. All right, he was going to be a part of that rotation. And what Dave said, nah, I'm good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Got a chance to go and get this World Series this year. Nah, I'm all right, man. I think I'm just going to chill. I'm going to chill. And maybe some people look at it as like this, Bunk, because they're making 60%. They're making 60 games. They're getting paid for 60 games. They're not 162. A lot of them like they ain't worth it. Now David Price walking away, they said his converted salary would be around $11 million. Hell, he got two. What the boss again? 217 or something like that.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine. Like again, I don't know that these decisions are being made financially, but it makes it easier. You know, I would think that it would make it easier. It's more justifiable from a Felix Hernandez standpoint than it would be for a guy who's, you know, not making that type of money. And again, if you're getting $300,000 to play baseball this year, that's a lot of money. And the reaction from a lot of fans is going to be, well, I'll do it for that type
Hell
of
yeah.
money. And I get that. That's $300,000 is life-changing money for most of us. That's money that we've never seen before. But there's the health side of it as well. And I have to think that that's, I don't know. I hope that it's equally available for everybody to make that decision is basically what I'm saying. Like
I think it is.
Nick Markakis and Felix Hernandez have an advantage that not everybody has that's in that locker room. I hope everybody feels the same stability and the same comfort in making that decision, because the last thing you would want is for somebody to feel any sort of pressure to be out there, and then something bad happens. Like,
but there hasn't been. Have we seen any pressure being applied by people? As far as organization, it seems like everybody's giving you the option because a lot of these people. We see how important. We see the first base coach for Atlanta. He's not coming.
Mm-hmm. Eric Young Senior, not going to be there.
Eric Young, he's not going to be there. Which is because he's one of my favorites too. Because he's sitting there with the batter's helmet all the time. But I don't think that the pressure from the organization is going to. I mean. The only way that you can look at it like this is if they hold it against you in the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I'm not going to come back. I don't want to play, you know, because of the possibility of me getting sick and all these things. I got a family and wife, young kids and all these things. But what if the owners, because one thing we know they don't do, they don't forget. Now, they'll be like, okay, you go ahead. Yeah, that's fine. We got your back. But then when a couple years come up and your contract kind of, well, you remember that time you sat out on us? We don't know if you're really worth the money. You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't want to sacrifice for us. Yeah, you wanted to be with your family. So, yeah, I think that we're going to keep our long-term offer and give it to somebody else. I mean, that could possibly be something down the road.
Another interesting part of the Markakis decision, as we're sort of reacting to this in real time, if you're just joining us, Nick Markakis has announced that he is opting out of the 2020 season, not going to be a part of the Braves team when they come back later this month. He and Felix Hernandez have made that decision over the last couple of days. Markakis was also asked about the fans and the fans not being in the stands, if that played into it. He said, "I love the game. I love competing. To have to go out there and not have them part of it, it's tough." So, interesting that not having fans in the stands, maybe factors into it as well. Or whether that not playing in front of fans factors into it, or the fact that it's not safe enough to have fans in the stands, therefore maybe, because that's what athletes have been saying the entire time. Well, if it's not safe enough for them to be there watching us, how is it safe enough for them to for us to be there playing? Which I think is a fair concern.
And we were just talking about it. He said, Markakis said, he said he talked to Freddie, and then he heard how sick he sounded, and he said, open his eyes, and he didn't think about it. I mean, I'm sure that's what he said. That probably had a big deal. I think the Freddie thing probably is a bigger impact than the fans, I would think, personally, but yeah.
Probably.
I mean, But I'm sure he talked to Freddie, and you can hear how sick Freddie was, and he made the decision off that. He got three babies. Me thinking about them, man.
That's the crazy thing about Felix, too. Felix worked out Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Talked to Brian Snicker Saturday after the side session that he threw. Never said anything about it. And then they find out Saturday night from his agent, not coming. Not coming back. I don't know. It's hard to hope that they're the only two. I hope that everybody makes their decision as clear-minded as they can. That's what I hope for. I hope there's a season. But I hope everybody makes their decision based on what's actually best for them. And Felix and Cakes aren't going to play. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams is going to join us at 11:40, as she always does, with what I believe is a golf story. I'm very excited about this. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
A lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar. More than healthcare, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every single day on the midday show at 11:40.
Hey, guys.
We'll get back to the Nick Markakis step top of the noon hour. I know everybody's talking about it on social media and everywhere. Nick Markakis has opted out of the season. We'll get back to all of that with more quotes from Nick, too. He's talking to the media right now, coming up in 20 minutes. Hey, Wendy.
How's it going, guys?
Good. It's going good.
Well, before I get to the Bryson DeChambeau story, because I know Andy, you're a huge fan. I know Brian's also a huge fan of Bryson DeChambeau and an incident that happened over the weekend. But I missed this because July 4th, I'm having a really good time. I didn't watch a lot of TV, spent it most outside by the pool, having a couple of drinks or nine. And I missed who won the 2020 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, because we've been in this pandemic. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about the hot dog eating contest. So if you missed it from over the weekend, here is who won. And it should come as no surprise who won the Nathan's Eating Hot Dog Contest.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Put down your hot dogs. Oh.
75. Some things change. Some remain the same.
75 hot dogs and buns. A world record. 75 hot dogs.
Unofficial 75.
75.
I don't know if you heard it. He said 75, which is a world record. Joey Chestnut winning the 2020 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. He ate a world record 75 hot dogs to capture the famed mustard yellow belt for the 13th time. Some things never change.
Yeah, broke his own world record, which broke his own. He's the guy. I mean, when it comes to eating hot dogs on the 4th of July, there is no equal to Joey Chestnut.
He stayed in shape during the off season, during the pandemic.
He kept the pandemic didn't slow him down. He kept it going. How many hot dogs did you guys consume over the weekend?
None. I had sausages.
2, 4. So yeah, I had a couple bratwursts.
I had 5.
Five hot dogs. That's pretty good, Wendy.
Dude, I hate that. Watching them eat that hot dog, it makes me want to gag.
Me too.
I watched it once and I was like, nah, I ain't watching this.
Yeah. Have you ever seen? Have you ever been around like an actual professional eating competition, in person, or seen someone try to set a record in person? Because just as gross as it is on TV, we used to do a thing where there was this guy, I don't remember what his name was, but he was local and he would come to one of our events every summer and try to break a different record. Uh-huh. And one summer it was jalapenos. I think he ate like 37 jalapenos in 5 minutes. Ooh. One summer it was cocktail shrimp. So he would dunk them in some whatever water he had so they'd slide down. He ate like 90 cocktail shrimp in like it's just disgusting. And it's the sound. The sound that it makes, like being consumed, is like, it's repulsive. So anyway, yeah, that's what I have to add to that story.
Well, I just wonder how long it takes you to, after you eat like cocktail shrimp, like how long does it take before you have another cocktail shrimp? Because I would think it would take me at least an entire year to want to taste it.
Ever.
All right, well, Andy, you and Brian, big fans of Bryson DeChambeau. He did win the Rocket Mortgage Classic over the weekend, but there was a photo that was tweeted out by Will Gray of the Golf Channel, and it shows Bryson DeChambeau and a cameraman sort of in an exchange, and this is what the tweet said, and then we'll play some audio. Bryson, running a little hot, caught up with him on 7, where he took a Sergio slash at the sand after splashing out of a greenside bunker, muttered an expletive after missing the par save, and spent 60 seconds in a ... testy discussion with a cameraman on his way to 8T. And this is Bryson DeChambeau explaining sort of what was going on in that scenario between the cameraman. It'll make you hate Bryson DeChambeau even more.
I hope he respects, you know, my privacy as much as we're out here performing. I think it's necessary that we have our times of privacy as well when things aren't going our way. I mean, we're in the spotlight, and if somebody else is in the spotlight, they wouldn't want that either. You know, it's just something about respect, I think, that's necessary on that end. So for me, I feel like it's one of those things that, you know, we had a conversation, and it was all good after that.
Well, Bryson doesn't stop there, guys, because he used and further his explanation on this heated exchange with the cameraman wanting to respect his privacy when golfers aren't, you know, necessarily happy with their performance so far. He threw out Tiger Woods' name in the explanation. Take a listen.
When you're videoing someone and you catch Tiger at a bad time, you show him accidentally doing something or someone else, or, you know, they're just frustrated because they really care about the game. It can really hurt them if they catch you at a potentially vulnerable time. We don't mean anything by it. We just care a lot about the game. And for that to damage our brand, like, that's not cool in the way we act. Because if you actually meet me in person, you know, I'm not too bad of a dude, I don't think. Yeah.
So it's the cameraman's fault for damaging Bryson DeChambeau's brand.
Because no one's brand has been damaged quite like Tiger Woods' brand when he gets a little upset on the golf course. Yeah, he's struggling with the brand management. The irony of all of it is... He won over the weekend, and the only thing that damaged his brand was the reaction to a cameraman showing him get upset. Bryson DeChambeau getting upset on the golf course, I don't know about you guys, but when I see golfers get upset, it's relatable because golf is hard and frustrating. And if something, it's less relatable to watch them have a perfect round and think that everything they do works every single time they try it than it is to see them drop a couple F-bombs when they flub a chip, because that's what we do when we're out there. It's misguided and it's silly, and it sucks because Bryson DeChambeau had a great weekend.
He's annoying as hell, man.
He is.
And I tell you, he's annoying as hell. And but one thing, he was going for it off the tee box. I mean, he was whacking it.
Yeah, it's
But
crazy.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't trust nobody, and I think he's corny as hell because when he talks with his eyes closed. And you never watched him do the interview. He kept closing his eyes while he was talking. It's like, why the hell are you closing your eyes? I mean, it's one thing to blink. But it's another thing, just close your damn eyes. Like,
he's a long blinker.
Oh, my God. He's so damn annoying.
Nobody likes a long blinker.
Do y'all remember the most mad you've ever been on a golf course? Like, what you did when you were at your most mad?
God, I don't know. Who knows?
I've never
broken a club?
I will be honest with you, Wendy. I've never gotten mad on a golf course.
Well, that's not surprising because, Randy, you're pretty even keel when it comes to golf. I imagine Andy may have broken a golf club or nine.
Oh, many. Many golf clubs have been broken. The most mad I've ever gotten, the ones that come to mind.
I take it back. I got mad once because somebody shot the damn ball. Somebody hit the ball, and we were still on the course, and they, like, landed close to us. That's the most mad I've ever got.
That's
right. I got mad like that on Friday with them old-ass dudes that did that.
Yeah, there was There was a four that could have been yelled, and it wasn't. There was a ball that came kind of close to us on the on like the 17th hole.
You remember one of the first things I said? I'll punch a 70. I'll defend myself against a 70-year-old man. That 70-year-old man was finna get pushed down in that damn bunker that was right there.
Yeah, I know. You're like actively seeking a senior citizen to beat up. I know.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I said if he hit me with that cane, I'm gonna drop him.
Again, and you're also lowering the age. It was a 75-year-old man. Now you're looking to beat up 70-year-olds. By the end of the year, you're going to beaten up anybody who
I tell you what,
anybody who gets in movies cheaper.
The only thing that would keep me from pushing you on the ground if you was in the full walker. If you're in the full walker thing, I leave you alone.
What if they hit you? What if they hit you with a walker though?
If they hit me with a walker, then they don't need to be in that walker. Obviously, they got some kind of scam or something going on. They hit me with the walker. All right.
The maddest I ever got on a golf course was during the Seattle Amateur, almost exactly 10 years ago. I made a 12 on a par 5, and I threw my sand wedge over the fence. Threw it over the fence. And then, like, the hard part is, as soon as you do something like that, the embarrassment is worse than the score.
Of course
it is. Like, I was so embarrassed that I acted that way, you know? Yeah. Like, who cares? It's just dumb golf.
It'd be fun to have, like, one shining moment playing in the background of those kind of breakdowns.
I would have a montage. I would have a long montage. I'm better now. Although we played on Friday and I didn't throw the club, but I dropped it aggressively towards the ground.
Yes, he did.
I didn't throw it. But then Randy's trying to dad me. He's like, see, Andy, if you get frustrated, then it's just going to make your game worse.
Remember that?
Leave me alone and shut up. Like,
that's awesome.
Go drink a beer somewhere. Like, I don't want, thanks for the tips. I appreciate it.
Next time I want to come along just so I can video these kind of moments.
Yes, please do. And just so we can see you also. Like, it would be nice to see Wendy in person as a human being. Next time we go, you're coming. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the noon hour, the breaking Nick Markakis news, and everything else. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.